Today's Bible reading is from John 7, chapter 1 to 20. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?"
Well, good morning. Let's come together in prayer as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Give us grace, O Lord, not only to hear your word with our ears, but also to receive it into our hearts and show it forth in our lives for the glory of your great name. Amen. Well, would you believe today is exactly one day and one month since Christmas? So I don't know about you, but Christmas feels like a really long time ago. And of course, today is yet another public holiday. It's Australia Day. And there's going to be all sorts of events on the harbour and the foreshore. There's a free all-day concert on the Opera House forecourt. There'll be fireworks at night. And there'll be stacks of people, crowds all through the city. And so in some ways, kinda, we have a similar sort of situation to what we have in John 7. The Feast of Tabernacles is approaching, and that is a public holiday where Jews went to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices and to live in tents to commemorate God's provision for Israel in the wilderness. There would have been crowds of people in Jerusalem. And so Jesus' brothers in verses 3 and 4 tell him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." Now, in the previous chapter, in John chapter 6, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He walked on water. And so his brothers were thinking, well, he could go to Jerusalem and stun the crowds, make a name for himself. They're saying to Jesus, "Time to step up. You've wowed the crowds here in Galilee. Why not take on the big smoke?" However, we are told in verse 5 that Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. They didn't really truly get it. They didn't understand who Jesus was. And so do you believe in Jesus? Do you get it? Do you understand who Jesus is? I think it's remarkable that even Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. They would have known Jesus. They would have known he'd fed the 5,000. And yet still they did not believe. You might think you know Jesus. You might like Jesus. Might think he's a great guy, but as we see in John 7, it's actually possible that you might know Jesus and yet still not correctly believe. Well, how can this be? Well, Jesus explains in verse 6, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." Jesus is not free to go up to the festival because it is not his time to go. As we see later in the passage, Jesus, yes, does eventually go to the festival, but not at the time or timing of his brothers. In other words, Jesus' brothers can't tell Jesus what to do as if they know better than Jesus. Because, of course, you can't tell Jesus, who is God, what to do. You can't give him good advice as if he'd never thought of it himself. It'd be like me giving chess advice to Magnus Carlsen, one of the greatest chess champions ever. Even if I saw what I thought was a great move, Magnus Carlsen would not only have seen it first, but he would have calculated many moves ahead and know that it's a bad idea. And chess, it is a game of patterns. If you play a bit of chess, you'll know this. There are basic principles in which you need to obey in order to reach stronger board positions. Even I know that. And yet, if you've played an absolute novice, an absolute beginner, then you will know, you'll have experienced that they just tend to make random moves. Because for them, any move will do. And so this is like what Jesus is saying to his brothers. For you, any time will do. Why? Because they are of the world. Their goals aren't God's plan. Jesus is working to God's schedule. And so as he says in verse 8, his time has not yet fully come. On one level, Jesus is saying, look, my time's not come. I'm not ready to go to the festival just yet. I think he wants to avoid the crowds. But on another level, Jesus is saying that he's not ready to go up to Jerusalem in that his time to die has not yet come. His ultimate plan and timing was to die on a cross for the sins of the world, not at the Feast of Tabernacles, but the Feast of Passover. And so Jesus is not following the advice and plans of his brothers, but rather God's agenda. Now, we do read in verse 10 that Jesus does go up to the festival, not publicly, but in secret. Jesus didn't go up to gain publicity like his brothers suggested, but rather in secret because he was not looking for fame. But as we know, he had different plans in mind. And what were Jesus's plan? What was Jesus's plan? Well, verse 14 says that partway through the festival, Jesus was teaching in the temple courts. Jesus's ministry was to teach, which I think is something that we can sometimes overlook. People who aren't Christians, they will often dismiss Jesus as just a good teacher. And so Christians, I think, can sometimes, in response or in reaction, downplay the fact that, yes, Jesus did do a lot of teaching, as we see here in chapter 7. And the people, they were amazed with his teaching. Verse 15, how did he get such learning without being taught, they asked. Now, I looked this up on the internet, so it must be true. But did you know that Tom Cruise has never had any formal acting lessons? Now, this is kind of similar to Jesus and his teaching, except for the fact that teaching is much harder than acting. And, well, Tom Cruise, he's not that good an actor anyway. Anyway, Jesus doesn't need formal theological training because he is God. And so his teaching is amazing because he is one with God the Father. See verse 16, Jesus answers, "My teaching is not my own, it comes from the one who sent me." And so Jesus, he's not just a good teacher, but rather he is the God teacher. His teaching doesn't come from man, but from God the Father. Verse 18, Jesus says, "Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." Here, Jesus is reconnecting with the idea that we saw earlier in the passage. Jesus doesn't seek his own glory, but God's glory, God the Father. And remember, Jesus said to his brothers, "Any time will do for you," when they told him to go to the festival to gain publicity. Jesus isn't working for personal glory. His teaching isn't for his own glory, but in obedience to God the Father and for God's glory. And so Jesus is not out there to win friends and influence people. No, he's out there to win glory for God, God the Father. And so that means Jesus will say things that make him unpopular. He said earlier in verse 7 that the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. And this is what sets Jesus apart from public figures and politicians. Jesus isn't looking to increase his approval ratings. No, he's there to simply teach and speak the truth and glorify God. How many times do we see politicians so ready to change their views, whether they harden or soften on a policy to increase public opinion? You know as well as I do, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it be Albanese, Dutton, or the orange guy, they all do it. King Charles, constitutionally, he is king. There is no voting him in. In theory, he is the ruler of the United Kingdom, whether the UK like him or not. And yet, he has a team dedicated to carefully curating his image, his brand, to keep him and the monarchy relevant and popular. But not so with Jesus, King Jesus. Jesus receives hate not because his marketing team hasn't done a good job, but because he exposes evil in the world. Jesus isn't interested in the popular vote, because as he says, and he knows, verse 7, the world itself is evil. And so Jesus exposes the evil in the Jewish leaders. Verse 19, he says, "Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" Jesus is calling out the Jewish leaders' hypocrisy and evil. He's appealing to the Jewish law and embarrassing them by highlighting how they break the law of Moses, which is foundational to Jewish religion and culture. It's the equivalent of calling someone un-Australian. The Jewish leaders are un-Jewish in breaking the law of Moses. They're wanting to kill Jesus. They're accusing Jesus of working on the Sabbath when in reality, he was simply healing, not working. So what can we glean from today's passage? Well, let me finish with a few quick reflections. The first thing that stood out for me from this part of the Bible is the question of whether I truly believe in Jesus. Because we have this sobering comment in verse 5 that even Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus' brothers, they would be the ones who would have known him well. They would have likely lived with him, understood him, you would think. And yet they thought he was a public figure, maybe a miracle worker. And of course, the reality of Jesus is vastly different. Jesus is not looking for fame and power, but his agenda is to serve and obey God. So knowing about Jesus and believing in Jesus are two different things. And it is folly to think that you know better than God or Jesus, like how the brothers gave advice to Jesus. And yet how I see this so often in unbelievers who make statements such as, "If I were God, then I'd dot, dot, dot. Make the world a better place," or "end all of this suffering," as if they know better than God, as if they can give advice to God. And this passage has made me ponder my own prayers as well. Are my prayers telling God what to do? Or am I praying that I would do what God wants me to do? Second reflection from this passage, it occurred to me as pondering this part of the Bible that I underappreciate the fact that Jesus is a teacher. He clearly came to teach. I think part of that is because we're so focused, and rightly so, on the work of Christ on the cross that we at times undersell his teaching ministry. The people who heard Jesus teaching, they were amazed. And I know, I get it, that they were partly amazed because they saw in Jesus someone who was untrained, theologically untrained, simply a carpenter. And part of our lack of amazement is that we know that Jesus is God the Son, and so there is a lot less surprise in his amazing teaching. And yet, I have been pondering whether am I amazed enough? Or do I love and treasure the words of Jesus who came to teach? Are they like honey, better than gold and silver to me? Or do I take them for granted like pearls to swine? I need to read and absorb the words of Jesus more in my life. And I'm not saying just read the words of Jesus as if the rest of the Bible is not important or God's word. But this passage reminds me that I need to read the scriptures more frequently and with greater depth of joy and reverence. Finally, my last reflection on this passage is how there are so many different responses to Jesus. There are the brothers who think they can give Jesus advice but don't truly understand who he is. There are the Jewish leaders who are trying to kill Jesus. And there are those who reject Jesus. As we see in verse 20, they call Jesus demon-possessed. Jesus says his teaching is from God. He has come to expose evil in the world. The people reject this claim and they say his teaching is demonic. So which is it? Is Jesus' teaching from God or is it of the devil? Interestingly, Jesus says in verse 17, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. You can't determine whether Jesus speaks truth without choosing to do the will of God. And so you need to humble yourself and seek God's will in order to understand Jesus' truth. Verse 18 implies that the Jewish leaders speak to gain personal glory. Human pride is their problem, and it's a terrible sin. As the proverb goes, pride comes before a fall. And if you don't humble yourself before God, you will never see his truth. So a question I need to continually ask myself is, am I proud? Am I too arrogant? Do I submit to God's word? Because if you choose to do the will of God, then you will see the truth of Jesus' words. And how wonderful it is to see and hear the truth of Jesus. Because Jesus is not a good teacher. He is the God teacher. And he has come not simply to teach your evil, but to treat your evil. Because Jesus' plan was not fame and glory at the Feast of Tabernacles, but ultimate humiliation and salvation at the cross. Amen.